you really have to check yourself in the mirror, because you can go down a rabbit hole. You can go way too far and into what other people have and what you don't have based off what society tells you. Plus, just, bro, like, trying to be masculine is tough enough. You know what I mean? Like, not in a physical form, but in the form of, like, the mental. It's like, how do I just keep pushing through this shit? And at what point is it okay for me to say, okay, I can't push through this shit, let me go get some help? Sir, so you're back with Daily Deposits. Troy, also Brooke, and we got my man,
DT, David Thomas.
Best barber in LA. If you don't know, now you do. So, David, now that we are back, bro, and we have pressed record, and we are here. You know, growing pains, bro. That's all it is. Let's touch on some topics, bro. Let's hop into this. I'll be honest, bro, with the topics, I had to ask other people, you know, what they might want to see. Because the first time we were kind of free-flowing, it was like, you know, whatever popped up, popped up. We did have some things we wanted to talk about and a focus around things. So I do want to address a couple things that people were asking about.
Okay.
So let's begin with, actually, you brought this topic up. Let's start with your topic of balancing life, work-life balance. What's your, you know, your thing and how you do it?
Yeah. So, man, balancing work, life, business, it's a daily ongoing thing. It's not a magic button and everything is
it's not like you can just press some shit and everything just kind of, you know, autonomates itself. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I mean, we see these things, and we'll touch on this later about routines, and we'll touch on, like, we see routines blow up. We see the perfect morning routine, perfect evening routine, and there is no perfect routine. It's, to me, it's an ongoing battle of just taking it hour by hour, taking it second by second, because looking at the whole picture, looking at everything all at once is too much. So I break it down by what I can control in the moment. And, you know, I work by the hour, so I take it client by client. Whenever I get a break, I take it that hour and I'm present. I eat some food. I take my time. I try to stay present, because if my mind goes thinking about the whole day, thinking about things that are coming up, things that are due, things that are, you know, pending, then my mind goes everywhere, and it's not a cool space to be in. So I try to focus on the hour. That way I don't take away from things like this, where I would take away from, like, I just want to be present.
And yeah.
So everything that I do, I try to be present. So whether that's, you know, setting blocks on my phone, for social media, because social media will steal all kinds of time from me throughout the day.
Shit.
And
I know about that.
So I have blockers on my phone. I have timers set. I use my calendar. All those things are constantly changing. You know, they might work one week and then another week, something else is thrown at me. I don't have a 9-to-5. I have a, whenever it comes, I got to go get it. And so I have to set, as much as I chose a job where I have freedom, I still have to set boundaries for myself. I still have to basically set up some walls for me so I don't run off the rails. So, yeah, it's a constant battle of, yeah,
You use a great word, bro. You use the word freedom. Oh, let me push you closer. Use the word freedom. And it takes a certain type of person to be able to work with that freedom, right? And still balance life. Like, you give me that freedom, I'm probably going to go off the deep end. So we are like opposites, but same, right? Like, so I need that 8 hours so I know what I need to focus on. And that allows me to balance the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like, I know these 8 hours, I'm completely blocked off. Social media, I don't have that, I don't have that willpower that you got yet. One day I will, bro.
I don't have it either, which is why I have the blockers. I'm
double tapping 6 hours out of the 8 hour day, bro. If I see something pop up on the Explorer page, I'm like, ooh, let me. But anyways, bro. Yeah, man. It's for me, I absolutely need that. Like, I can't have that freedom. And I know I can't have that freedom because it gives me an area to slack off. I don't feel I have that much discipline, which is why, you know, working 8 hours, you know, it's whatever. I'm focused and it allows me to let go of that 8 hours and then live the rest of my day. And then that's how I keep shit balanced. This 8 hours is literally just this 8 hours. And then after that, there's like a second life. You know what I mean? Like, it's a transition into, ooh, okay, got that done. Did my best that I can do in that 8 hours, and then I move forward. Mm-hmm. So,
gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, so the way that you say that, I try to structure myself the same way. You have 8 hours that you work with your job. I set limits for myself where I set, these are my work hours. These are my personal hours. These are my hours with the family. It might seem like a lot, or I don't even know the word, to almost perfectionism of like, I schedule almost everything. Like, everything is in the calendar because sometimes we just need some help. We need some guidance. We need some limits. We need some, you know, some, what do they call those when you're bowling?
Oh, the bumpers, the little,
sometimes, I think that's sometimes we need that, especially if life is kicking us in the ass and we just want to roll down the street, bro. I just want to hit a pin.
Yeah, exactly. You know what
I
mean? Exactly.
I just want to hit a pin. So I need something up to like keep me on the lane. And restrictions help me. As much as, like I said, I fought for freedom. I could not work a 9 to 5. I got fired from every 9 to 5 I've ever worked. Couldn't do it. Every 9 to 5.
That's fucking funny, bro.
Everyone.
Because I feel like you follow rules like way better than me. But maybe it's the thing because I know I'm not that great at following rules. I'm like, damn, I really gotta like follow these rules or they're gonna know that I'm not the rule follower. So it's like, that's why it almost whips me into shape a little bit more. Yeah, bro. But if I had your schedule and I had to create my own calendar, luckily, like, they send me shit and I just gotta accept it. And then it pops up on my Outlook whenever I need to, you know, be somewhere or do something. If I had to actually set that up myself, I think my brain or me just personally, I move way too fast. How do you manage that? You know, how do you keep that going and how do you keep yourself accountable for your, you know, your daily grind going into the week?
Yeah, I think we're both fathers now, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, if I choose to slack off, it's not just me that feels it. Mm-hmm. Luckily I have a job where you get what you put out. So if I'm slacking, you're going to see it immediately. There is no like, yeah, you're going to see it immediately. Mm-hmm. So because I'm always focused on being present, I'm able to see where things are slacking and where it might need to be, you know, pick it up here. So I think
you good?
Yeah. Yeah. I think having so many things that I want to accomplish, there's only so much time in a day. Mm-hmm. So if I choose to slack off, that just means I'm not accomplishing my goals or my dreams or my. And I think that what I have planned for the future is more important than whatever distraction that may come up. And yeah, but like I said, a lot of tools, I use my journal daily. Mm-hmm. I have habit trackers. I use my calendar. The journal I use is called a bullet journal. So I write in it every single day. There's a calendar in there. I use my calendar on my phone. You know, it's very tedious, but it keeps me on the right track. Because if not, I'm very similar to you where I think last time you referenced, you said everybody's a squirrel
I'm a squirrel, bro.
Or you're a squirrel.
Yeah, I'm a squirrel. And I just can't wrap my head around anything that's going on.
Yeah. I need some kind of structure, even if it is self-structure. The cool thing is I can test. I'm not going off of somebody else's. And so if somebody else is telling me you need to do this, that's when I guess that's when I don't follow the rules, when somebody's telling me that I need to do it. Whereas if I made the decision or if I see something that needs to be changed, I'm like, all right, that's what I need to do. But if somebody else is telling me you need to do this, but they're not doing it themselves or they're just not someone I would want to listen to.
Yeah.
Then that's tough for me. So I think the daily check-in for me is like that's what keeps me accountable with everything.
Now, do you feel like that translates over to fatherhood? Like, does that aspect transfer over into, you know, how you raise your kids, how you, you know, treat your wife, how everything goes at home?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think that's a consistent thing as well, because, you know, now you're dealing with other personalities. All this stuff that I do, yeah, it might work for me in the moment, but for me to be like, you need to do this, because they may not be there yet, or they may not even want to, you know, the only thing I can do is show them through what I do, and hopefully they latch on to whatever good I show them. You know, they latch on to everything, but hopefully they latch on to the good that I'm, because, you know, at the end of the day, the truth is the truth. Everybody knows what the truth is. They can see it for themselves. You can feel the truth. You can feel if somebody's being not genuine and all I try to do is, you know, be truthful with them. And, you know, if they are working on something, I share the best way that I know how.
Mm-hmm.
Take it for what you want. Turn it into what you can turn it into. Shape it any way you need to shape it. But take my input and you know, multiply it.
Mm-hmm.
Leading
by example type of deal.
Lead by example.
Gotcha.
You know, and, you know, hopefully they're learning from my mistakes as well, because, you know, this is all a test, or it's all an experiment, really. Like, no one knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one big experiment, one big science experiment of trying things and seeing what works. And so I just throw what I know at them, and hopefully that sticks.
Yeah. Now, that's used a word, bro, that kind of caught my interest, is mistakes. Like, how do you own up to mistakes, both, you know, in work life and relationship, without deflecting? I think a lot of people have problems with accountability. Myself, I've had problems with accountability, like always pointing a finger, being like, man, this wouldn't happen if this person wasn't like this. But then you look in the mirror and it's like, wait, if I didn't do this, this might have never happened. So for you, you know, how do you own up to those things? How do you, you know, keep things going and just learn to really just take care of your own shit?
It's tough. And, you know, I don't want to sit up here and say, like, you know, it's easy because sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's something that you don't want to even admit. But I think it all starts with yourself. Before you can be, you know, truthful, or before you could own any mistakes to someone else, like, you have to do it with yourself first and realize, you know, we talked about ego. I don't know if that was now or earlier, but we talked about ego, and that's usually ego. When ego tries to come in and say, no, don't admit that because that's going to make you seem like this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't admit that because that's going to make you seem like you're weak, or you know, that's ego.
Kind of touching on, you know, like masculinity type of deal.
It's ego. And like, it's ego is a, in a way, a protector, because no, you sometimes you don't want to seem weak as mm-hmm. a man. Sometimes you don't want to, especially how, you know, we grew up. It's easy now to find someone to talk to. It's better to talk to someone, as we know now. But growing up, our first habit was just like, you know, suck it up. Like, yeah. That was like the big word of, you better suck it
up. Thug it out, bro. Thug it out. Get through that shit, bro. Get it out the mud.
Thug it out. Suck it up. So, and I think part of that is almost what sets people up for not wanting to own their mistakes, because mm-hmm. we were always kind of taught to, well, it is what it is. It might not, you know, mistake or not, whatever. Like, I'm not going to, let me just kind of deflect it, because mm-hmm. like, that hurts to talk about that. So I think working on losing the ego will help with owning any kind of mistakes that you have made. And they're only mistakes if you, like, everybody makes mistakes, but, you know, are you choosing to, you know, learn from them, or are you, you know, I guess sticking around doing the same mistakes? Because, yeah, mistakes are like inevitable. Like,
yeah, for sure. And I not to cut you off, but I think what people do is kind of kick their own ass from mistakes because of how society perceives men now, mostly through, you know, a social media lens, right? Like you touched on, just having someone to talk to, like, how, like, I think about how my grandpa, right? Like, he was in the Navy. During his time, I actually asked him a couple questions about, like, yo, this part of your life seemed pretty fucking difficult to me. Like, if I was going through this shit now, I don't know how I would get through it. And there was no one to talk to back then. You know what I mean? If there was no BetterHelp, there was no therapist line, there was nothing. Like, you're crazy if you needed to talk to someone. Like, just like you said, suck it up and keep moving. I think nowadays it's a double-edged sword, because it's, you look at social media and you have, you know, guys who are doing well for themselves, but again, perception, you gotta take that shit with a grain of salt. So I think what it is now is the people that's actually going through shit, they get the help they need, but they also feel a little bit worse because of what they're seeing and scrolling through every day. I know for me personally, bro, there's been times where I'm just like, fuck, I don't have that yet. You know what I mean? Like, that, I don't have that. You know, I don't own a home. You know, I don't, you know, drive a $150,000 car. And I think based on how, you know, things are looked at, it tends to, you know, make people want to go talk to someone because you don't have that yet. And you know, I could be going off on a fucking tangent. I got kind of passionate there, but yeah, bro, it's just shit that we go through, bro. I felt that shit. Like, I felt it, bro. I'd say you really have to check yourself in the mirror, because you can go down a rabbit hole. You can go way too far and into what other people have and what you don't have based off what society tells you. Plus just, bro, like, trying to be masculine is tough enough. You know what I mean? Like, not in a physical form, but in the form of, like, the mental. It's like, how do I just keep pushing through this shit? And at what point is it okay for me to say, okay, I can't push through this shit, let me go get some help? You know, I think it's hard to say you can't. You know, I don't know if you've ever hit that point or in any situation. I'm not saying, you know, anything specifically, but if you've ever hit a point where you just felt like you can't and you needed to reach out, have you ever had anything like that hit you or happen?
I'd say most of those times happened when I was drinking. And my form of outlet would be to drink, and, you know, whatever came out, came out.
Yeah, I know about that shit. God damn, do I know about that? Yes, sir.
So as much, and that was my battle with sobriety and drinking, because drinking was my outlet. That was, I would hold it all in all week to get to Friday and have that first drink and be like, okay.
Like, yeah, you know? Let's go. The fucking you know? Weekend has started.
And I would use it as an excuse to say whatever I wanted, but it was really just like everything that was just going on inside anyway. And I think now, I think we touched on it earlier when I was saying the daily check-ins or the daily routines of just staying present. You know, during those times of drinking, I wouldn't be present because I knew, like, I would just kind of put off whatever I was feeling or thinking, just to get to Friday or just to get to, you know, the night when I could have a beer or whatever the case was. So I don't do much holding on. I do think just a ton, because she is, and she's always been there for me to, you know, talk to whenever I am ready to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's shown me a different side of communication, and not even just communication, but just like being there.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it isn't the perfect conversation of communication, it could just be like, just the fact of knowing someone is there to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no judgment. There's no, there's no judgment. There's no, like, even if it's a cry or something, like, it's, there's no, like, why are you crying? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's no, you know. So to have that, I think I don't reach those points of, like, not, or feel like I have to, like, reach out. I think I was kind of tying that back to the question you asked of feeling like I can't. I have gone to therapy. And I think therapy is awesome to have someone to, you know, that doesn't know you, that can, you know, they're just there to help, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not giving you biased information. I do think that it's powerful to have someone to kind of bounce what you're feeling off with, like someone that's not trying to persuade you to think any kind of way or hold you up to any standards that you may think that you are supposed to be held up to, or why you can't say, whatever the reasons are for not wanting to talk to someone. Therapists usually kind of break those walls down and get you to think about whatever it is that you are thinking about differently, or just from a different lens. Because if I talk to you about something, I'm going to bounce the idea off of you, but it's still bouncing an idea off of you, but you have your view of me.
I have a relationship with you. So it would be a biased opinion versus somebody you don't know giving you completely like in the dark. If I, well, they're not in the dark. They're in the dark on your life. they weren't there with you when you were going through certain things. Yeah. With therapy, man, I've thought about that before, but I couldn't bring myself to it. Reason why is because I identified what was going on with me. It was mostly a self-love thing. I didn't have the level of self-love that I needed, which in turn, I couldn't give that love to other people. And, you know, not having that was, I don't know where that comes from, bro, to be honest. Like, I really don't know where it came from, but there's always a level of like self-doubt or whatever. And that tied into why I was drinking. Once I identified, like, bro, I just don't know how to love myself. So I can't complete loving someone else. So when you know, talk about Jess and that, like, I know you guys' relationship, beautiful relationship, having someone to talk to, is amazing, right? But it's a level of self-love that you have to have first before you can open up and talk to that person.
For sure.
And I think that's the same thing with therapy. It's like, I had to find my level of like, hey, bro, give yourself a hug. Mm. Give yourself a hug before you go, you know, talk to someone and really understand, because you might be able to, it might be all you need. And I think as men, bro, we're really not taught about love as much as like what, as far as like what we need, right? And you know, if we are and being fathers, it's like you know, how do you share that? How do you share that on to your children? You know, how do you teach them to love themselves better than you did? I think that's a constant struggle for me, to be honest, bro. And maybe sometimes with me and Zen, maybe I over encourage her because I'm afraid of her feeling that same way.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's tough because, you know, we're creatures of habits, and we have habits that have been with us for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's not just our habits, but it's habits that we have seen, you know. And I hope I'm not giving too much away of someone's, I recently talked with someone about, the podcast, and he mentioned this topic exactly of, he said he can count on his finger, one hand, how many times his dad has told him that he loves him.
Mm.
And you know, it's tough. It's tough to teach someone something that you may not fully know,
mm-hmm.
which is why you say you feel like you might be doing too much or something like it, or
yeah, yeah. Like, I know for a fact I'm over encouraging.
So I don't know the answer. And it's something that I struggle with as well, which is why I said I give a lot of credit and flowers to Jess, because she's the complete opposite. She is love everything. That's like, she's I would almost even say the definition of love. Like, she's like how she treats the kids, love every day, you know. She's making sure that I say bye to them when I leave. That's not something that I would do, because it, not blaming it on old things, but it's not a habit that I know of. So she makes me, not makes me, but she encourages me to say bye before I leave every day. I for sure say bye to her, but it wasn't something for me to, you know, say bye and tell the kids that I love them every day. So it's something that I actively try to do now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, back to your question, it's like, how do you teach them? It's like, practice it yourself, and it'll rub off, I think. And yeah, it's like, it's something I'm struggling with as well. It's funny that, not funny, but my dad calls me now, and we kind of talk about this as well, because, you know, I think he had a similar kind of structure with, like, you know, the men in the family were just like supposed to just take everything, show no emotion. Like, you got to be the man of the household. Like, you can't show weakness or you can't show vulnerability, like you, because there's really no time for it. You had to pay bills. You got to take care of the family. And if you're sitting complaining about something, then you're not getting something done. And I think, you know, back to having a conversation with my dad, like we're working on that as well with trying to be more, I don't know if the word is expressive or just being able to, you know, tell someone how you feel. It's tough. So I think that just trying to do that and being genuine with yourself, being genuine with your kids, family, they'll feel it. And mm-hmm. I think it'll rub off. And that's what I think.
And bro, I see from your perspective, and this is what I was gonna say, but I don't wanna interject. Your relationship is beautiful, bro. Like I've watched it from, I don't know, bro, whatever age you were, young, you know, having that outlet is amazing. Like, and then even being able to talk to, you know, your dad, about certain things. I'm finding myself like that talking to my dad, 'cause I almost feel like I'm reliving his life at certain times. And, you know, I'm like, dude, what do I do here? What's going on? How do I, you know, navigate this? And it's been one of those things where it's like you come to this realization, like, you know, I don't have what you have necessarily, far as like telling the kids goodbye and being able to do all those things. I admire that. I wish I had something like that, but I also have to take, you know, a look at myself and say, maybe this is the reason I don't exactly have that. Maybe, you know, I need to fix some things inside of myself first. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think that's just like kind of the way shit goes. I know that might be completely off topic of what we're talking about, but that's just what I thought about while we're talking. One thing you're talking about was vulnerability, man. It's hard to be vulnerable in this stage and age of like life. Like dating in your mid-30s, people kind of like, for me, dating in my mid-30s, people know what they want now. Mm-hmm. Like those days of like not really being sure was in your 20s, those days of going out and doing shit you don't really like to find out, you don't really like that, those days are over. I feel like people, they know what they're looking for, but it's just harder to find it because everybody has this guard up. Everyone's like, yo, I've been through that. So it's harder to find the bond that you got with Jess that came from high school when you're, you know, oblivious to things and you learn together versus like already learned this shit. I'm like, you know what I mean? At this age. And bro, I'm fucking dead scared of being vulnerable because I don't want to get screenshot, bro. Mm. That shit is another part of dating that is like it's hard to be vulnerable with people because you don't know, bro. You might end up in somebody's group chat, you know, just expressing yourself. So,
yeah, I think, and I don't know, 'cause I'm not dating, but I, being vulnerable versus like telling your deep dark secrets, I still think there's a cutoff there.
Oh, like, fuck. Like, I smash past that stop sign every time, bro. Like, what do you want to know?
Like being vulnerable, I think is, you know, being able to tell them how you feel in the moment. And if you can tell them how you're feeling in the moment, then they'll, you know, more likely to open up and trust you down the line, or you could find out if you could trust them down the line. If you can be truthful in the moment and not feel like, yeah, if to not feel like you have to throw up any guards in that moment, then I don't think that's an excuse to tell your deep dark secrets about past or whatever, but I think that it's the present moment where you're able to, if you can be present in the moment, then you will also be able to see if that person is worth telling the deep dark secrets.
I think that's the biggest struggle, bro, is you know, finding out like who's actually worthy of those deep dark secrets. And then it's like, that's the shit with like, well, far as my life right now, bro, far as my life, it's like, I don't personally look to date anyone. I don't look like for like marriage because I'm partially scared. You know what I mean? I'm partially scared as a man. It's like, who can I really trust? You know what I mean? And bringing, you know, my kid into things and all that. It's like, how the fuck does this work into my life? How do I work into your life? How does all this go together? So that's just something I want to, you know,
yeah,
I don't know. I wanted to share.
Yeah. I don't think, not to cut you off, but I don't think that it's really worth trying to figure out if you can trust somebody. Trust is a more of a feeling than anything. So trying to figure out if you can trust somebody, they're not the one to trust if you got to try to figure it out. Mm. So I don't think you should put so much pressure on like, can I trust it? Like it's a feeling of,
you know, when you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a drunk conversation where you're like, oh, I feel like I could tell you.
Bro, fuck.
It's not one of those.
That's why it's so hard, bro. Because those were my conversations for, you know, X amount of years of life. It was 15 years of, you know, being drunk and being out, being at the bar. And all of a sudden you love this person. Like, yeah. Then you go out the next time. It's like, you're even better than last time. Holy fuck. Like, I could trust you. And it's like, bro, you go. So what I'm learning now is really like tapping into myself, bro. Like, there's deeper layers to me than I even knew that I can't give you yet. You know what I mean? It's like being sober. It's like I'm not just, you know, hyped up off, you know, whatever it is that we do together that keeps us coming back together. You know what I mean? That common ground is broken. So there's a deeper foundation that we need to figure out about each other. And I feel like at this moment now in life, I don't know what it is, bro, with society. It's like people don't really want to spend the time to really get to know the other person. It's like, red flag, you're gone. You know what I mean? I think you should definitely pay attention to red flags, but I don't think you should like, this bothered the fuck out of me, I'm out. You know what I mean? I think still take time to hear people out, listen to people. Maybe that's what they did before. And then you keep moving.
Do you think that's a location thing?
I definitely think that's a location thing. I think it comes down to like cities, right? Like for example, we're in LA. So let's take LA. I think it has a lot to do with what's around you, what people have, what, you know, where you're trying to go, you know, what level, you know, even just if you go on IG right now, you can find people at the same restaurant over and over and over and over, over and over and over. Can you take me here? Can you do that? And it's also like, we want to keep up with the Joneses here. There's, you know, fashion, there's, places you can visit that people want to keep up. You go to a small town, like when I was in Kansas, bro, none of that shit exists. No one cares. It's people actually take the time to get to know people. They have great, wholesome relationships. Almost everyone knew everyone. And, you know, all the other shit that didn't matter, the vanity slave shit didn't matter. You know what I mean? I think here it's more so like, you know, being seen versus being felt.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. That's really tough. Yeah, I question this all the time. And like, because I've been to smaller towns. I've been to Denver as well. I've been to, I've seen other communities around the world. And I feel like, I don't know if it's just because LA is like a big melting pot of like so many different cultures, so many different people. Everyone has their own view of what LA should be instead of LA just being LA. It's like LA is, I don't know. It's the fact that we can't put a finger on what LA is anymore. I think it's tough to build community, you know, and it really sucks to say because it's like our home, right? And like, I wonder sometimes, like, is it worth like really trying to fight for community here when everybody is so like spread out, or like their values are different, or it, you know, you, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's when you go different places, bro. Like I went to Houston last weekend, right? And it's still like it's still a city, right? It's still a city life, but something felt different, bro. Something felt a little bit different about, you know, what was going on out there. Something felt different about just the air, the openness, the embracing that, you know, people, you know, you see people in line for crawfish and it was like, you know, they'd all just showing love to each other. Like that won't happen here because everyone's into their phones, into themselves, trying to figure out, you know, how they can get themselves forward. Yeah, man, that's I don't know. You got any extra topics you want to touch on or anything like that?
No, I do. I know I said I don't know what to do about this whole community thing, but I do want to give it a shot of doing what I can to create a community. So doing things like our beach cleanup. Mm-hmm. I do eventually want to open up a barbershop to have like a community. The thing I do now, I work out of a studio, but I want the local shop that kids can grow up and, you know, say they used to go to this staple of a place. I feel like that's been kind of dying out.
That old school feel.
Yeah. And not so much of old school, just the community of like just having a place that you can trust to go to. Like people don't have that, I don't think. And you know, this is my profession, so I feel like it is my responsibility to do what I can and inspire people to do better in their community. And yeah, so I do have some projects coming up with some YouTube stuff for barbershops and things like that. So I'm excited for that. And let's just keep doing what we can ourselves and, you know.
Yeah, keep loving ourselves, stay sober, keep, you know, working towards our goals and pushing, you know, the envelope as far as we can, bro.
Yeah.
And to everyone that's listening, everyone that's listening or watching, we appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts, man. Like, seriously, this is a space for me to be able to talk about shit as we dial in the format, you know, and continue to do this.
Yep.
We'll get better. And, you know, I just truly appreciate people even fucking listening to me.
Yeah. It's all love. It's all, everything we're doing is not to say, you know, we're the, like, it's all love. And, just trying to give back and, you know, inspire each other really.
Yeah.
You know? Cause I think that's what my calling is to, you know, give, like, cause we, you know, we can't take anything with us. So it's like, give while you can, yeah, cause, you know.
Yeah, and this shit don't last forever.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, appreciate you taking the time. I think we do have to wrap up. Anybody that's, you know, still listening this far, we appreciate you, and stay tuned.